Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, RMS Titanic, that's the firm that owns the salvage rights to the Titanic shipwreck, is set to return to the site to take part in remote imaging and research early next month. And this comes next Tuesday, you might know, marks the one-year anniversary of the Oceangate submersible expedition, which saw five people die in what the US Coast Guard believes was a catastrophic implosion at that time. Now, one of the people who will be part of this year's expedition is the Irish deep-sea diver and Titanic historian Rory Golden. Rory, you're very welcome.
Good morning.
Lovely to have you here with us. This current expedition now coming up next month, what will it be looking for and why is it happening?
Well, RMS Titanic Inc. are the salvagers in possession, the official owners, if you like, of the wreck site in terms of the area around the wreck and also the artifacts which were recovered over many years. The last time they had a survey like this was in 2010. So it's 14 years since a very comprehensive survey of the ocean area around the wreck site was done. Technology has jumped in leaps and bounds since then.
And so this is why the decision has been made. And it will all be done remotely.
It's all been done remotely. There are two ROVs. This is not a manned expedition like last year. This is a scientific survey being done with state-of-the-art technology, photogrammetry imaging, LIDAR, which is light detection and radar imaging, and 64K camera systems on board on two robots that will be literally mowing the lawn, as they call, around the wreck site, both the bow section and the stern section and the debris field. And what they're looking for is an update on the state of the wreck itself, the deterioration. I mean, I've been on five expeditions prior to this, three in the last 3 years, and I have seen a massive amount of decay of the wreck site itself in that time. So this will give us more information and will also possibly be able to identify new areas of the wreck site that will be picked up by these imaging systems for possible future recovery. Will also give a better indication of the rate of decay over the next 20, 30, 50 years.
So you will be on the mothership while this is happening?
Yes.
And what will be the level of your involvement in this expedition? What's your role?
I tend to be a multitasker. All the expeditions I've been on started off with one job in mind, and then my roles evolved and developed over time. And at sea, you have to be flexible. That's what it's all about, adapting to the environment, adapting to the situations. I will be on board to possibly identify things on the seabed. I will be giving presentations on board to some of the crew and guests who will be on the expedition. And also, I've been given a title of Chief Morale Officer.
Right, so to keep the tensions.
Yeah, well, you know, every expedition needs an Irish person on board to keep things going and flowing.
Now, as you say, you've been involved in many of these over the years. Your first time was in the year 2000,
in
is that right?
In the year 2000, yeah. Tell
me a little bit about that first trip.
Well, again, my role in that was to do subsurface safety operations when artifacts will be recovered from the ocean and divers would get in the water to throw nets over the baskets just below the surface. But that particular job went out the window because the ship that we used for that wasn't suitable. They got fired. The Russian submersibles that we were using, which were supposed to be for identifying the areas, were then used to recover artifacts. So again, my role changed. I had previous amateur experience in underwater archaeology here in Ireland with the National Monuments people here. And I got involved in the conservation and recovery of the artifacts that were brought to the surface on that particular occasion. And ended up making a dive at that time to the wreck. I'd never been guaranteed a dive in the sub, but I brought a memorial plaque from Cove that my friend Michael Martin, who does Titanic walking trails down there, had made for me. Mm-hmm. And that became my ticket. And on that dive, we spotted with my friend Ralph White, who was making his 30th dive to the Titanic, we spotted and recovered the main helm stand of the Titanic, the wheel that was turned to try to make the ship turn away from the iceberg.
Gosh, it must be such an extraordinary experience to go down there and to see it.
It is. It is an extraordinary experience. And I've been very lucky in that respect, because more people have been to outer space in rockets that have been to the depths of the ocean that I've been to.
And I know now you're considered an expert and you give talks and so on, because there is such an enduring fascination with the Titanic, and it shows no sign of ebbing. You know, newer generations coming along and they're still fascinated.
And it's brilliant because it opens up curiosity in people's minds, and particularly with younger people who want to find out things like that. And the oceans are an important part of our life. And, you know, you were talking about water quality just before I came on air. And, you know, water is what keeps us alive. And the oceans are so important to us. And research is what it's all about, to find out what's happening in the deep oceans.
Yeah, I mentioned the Ocean Gate anniversary, which is coming up. And we covered that extensively on the programme. You were on the mothership.
I was.
When that happened.
I was.
I mean, that must have been something that, I don't know how you got through it even, because the world's attention was focused on what was happening over that time frame.
It was a very traumatic time for all of us. And this is the first time I have now publicly spoken about this since it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain things I won't talk about because there were 5 ongoing investigations. And we'll let the experts come to the conclusions as to what happened. But I was on 3 of those Ocean Gate expeditions in the previous 2 years. And when the incident occurred and when the alarm was raised, we were initially not that worried, because communications can break down. You're talking about a hostile environment where sound waves can get distorted. So when we lost communications, there wasn't an initial concern. But then as the day went on, we did get more and more concerned. And then when it was announced that there was officially a missing and the rescue operation went into go mode, it became very tough for everybody on board, particularly, and the world didn't really know this. We had 2 wives and a daughter on board of 2 of those people on board. 3 of those people on board, and we had to live with that. We had to be strong and brave for the others on board. And we had a lot of younger people who had no experience of dealing with international media, and I warned people to be prepared for a media onslaught. And that onslaught started and didn't stop for 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm. People contacting you directly?
Oh, directly, and demands for interviews. Starting off with, oh, we're very sorry about what happened. Can you come on air and talk to us, please? Mm-hmm. And I will say this, and I said it to people before, the most respectful request I got was from my own country, because people know who I am here. And when I answered those people and said, I can't talk, it wouldn't be right. We have other things to concentrate on right now. We have a rescue operation, and we were living in hope for 4 days.
I suppose you know now, you know, in the aftermath of it, just what a huge international story it was. I mean, it was phenomenal at the time.
It was phenomenal. We had 4 rescue ships on the site. We had an organisation that I'm a member of, the Explorers Club, based in New York, had a task force out there pulling in contacts from all around the world to try to get as many people out to try to help and locate and hopefully find the sub.
Mm-hmm. And when you heard the news and the debris was found, that must have been extremely tough for everybody, given who you had on board and who you had to help.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about being on that ship for 4 days, well, we were literally on the go for 24 hours a day because we were doing shifts, scanning the ocean, monitoring the signals that were coming from other ships and the radio messages and the C-17 aircraft that were dropping sonar buoys and the strange tapping noises that were coming up with regular. Yes. All these mysteries kept us thinking things were going to be okay. But when it was finally announced that the wreckage had been discovered, in many ways, it was a relief, because we had this dread thought of all our friends suffering down there, you know, getting colder, running out of oxygen, being terribly frightened. At least we knew that they had died instantly and that they wouldn't have known anything about it.
And how have you coped with all of this personally? Somebody who's been involved in diving and expeditions for years, has it impacted you?
It does impact you. It makes you aware that life is very precious. It makes you aware that those 4 people that I had ferried only a few hours beforehand from the mothership to the sub, who left the boat laughing, happy, looking forward to going and looking at the Titanic, I never saw them again. Mm-hmm. And my memory of them is that they went in a very positive frame of mind. And that's important too, because that was important to their family and other members of the crew who were there. And Pierre Gennargelet was the French expert who I had befriended, who I'd known him for many, many years. I'd known of him, but I only met him the previous 4 years. And he had been to the Titanic 37 times. He was an expert on underwater engineering. And he and I had discussions about the sub and thought that it was new technology.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not an engineer. I have a lot of experience of being in deep ocean, but I was confident enough to have a dive in that sub myself the year before.
That's right. You went down in a similar submersible vessel just a year beforehand.
Same
so you
sub.
Knew exactly what it was like to experience that.
Yeah.
And there are probably people listening who looked at that at the time and thought, I would never feel comfortable doing that. It hasn't put people off, though, this experience of going down in a submersible. Has it impacted your trust in carrying out such an expedition? Bearing in mind the next one now is going to be unmanned. But how do you feel about those submersible vessels now, having gone through what you did last year?
You've got to be aware that exploration has its risks and calculated risks. And, you know, you've more chance of getting knocked down by a car than being killed in an expedition like that. Unfortunately, the OceanGate expedition has focused things on new technology that wasn't tried or tested as such. But bearing in mind, the sub had made 14 or 15 dives to the Titanic prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm not going to get into the whys and wherefores that happened,
because
let's see what the official reports come out.
Yeah.
You know, I have my own thoughts, but I'm keeping them to myself for now.
And Rory, this plan now in next month in July, are we going to see the results of that? Are we going to be able to see pretty quickly the images that are found?
Quickly, I don't know, because a lot of this has to be analysed, but they will be released. Yes, RMS Titanic Inc. have an open policy now than they've had in many, many years. And their whole concern, yes, they're a company that has to make money and revenue out of the whole Titanic story, but they are the caretakers of the artefacts. And the artefacts are in two permanent exhibitions in Orlando and in Las Vegas, what I call the well-known maritime city of Las Vegas. And there were five or six travelling exhibitions around the world. Mm. And these exhibitions bring the story of the Titanic to life.
And they're legally protected,
and they are legal. The collection can never be sold piecemeal. They are protected. If they ever have to be sold, it has to be sold in one package and can never be dispersed. And that's the great thing about the whole Titanic collection. And I've seen children going into these exhibitions and their eyes are wide open because of the human stories of the people who were on the Titanic. And not just the millionaires, the Astors and the Strausses, the people from, you know, people like Ireland, the Artigal 14, the 11 of those never made it to America. Their stories from a remote part of County Mayo, the other people from Eastern Europe and all those. This is what the attraction of the whole Titanic story is, that people can't explain, but it's there.
It's there. Well, Rory, we wish you well next month when you take part in that new expedition. And thank you so much for coming in. A great pleasure to meet you. That's Rory Golden there, who's a deep sea diver and advisor to that latest Titanic dive. We'll be back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.